you see is what you get. So come on around this way just a little bit here, and the next, because I'm going to talk to you a little bit right here, as everybody passes through. We had our mine manager, they sometimes are called superintendent, mine manager, whatever, there was an office up there, and we did use surveillance cameras, we really do, not for our employees, but for the public. Because in California, you can walk up a stream. You can't trespass and go up above where the water level is. That's trespassing. But the streams in California are open to anyone. So even though if you can get to a stream and you're not crossing anybody's private property, you can walk down, up and down that stream. And we do have people from time to time to do that. It's a little bit rugged for them, but they do come in once in a while. So we do have some cameras around for that reason. All right, so we're in our diggers right now. We're ready to go to work, and we all have a belt on, and we have a name on our belt. It's called brassing in. You might have heard that term, brassing in, and it's serious because everybody, let's say they're going to work on these are the different 800 level. We're just going to go to the 800 level. These are the different levels of the mine. And hoist operators there. So everybody has an identical one of these with their name on it. So we know where they are and when they went in the mine. This is, I'm sure, true with coal mines or any other kind of mine as well. I think it's absolutely, in fact, I know it is because it's a federal law. And when I mentioned the regulations, we have MSHA, Mine Safety Health Administration, which is federal out of Virginia, Beckley, Virginia. West Virginia, and then we have Cal OSHA here, so we're double regulated. We get 4 unannounced inspections each year from these different groups, and guess what? They have different rules, you know, of course. So, and they can come in, and then they can go wherever you're working. So that's what they do. We're on what's called maintenance right now, so we only get 2 inspections a year right now. Because we're really not actively breaking any rock in any particular areas. If we stumble across something, why, it's really great because we're not actively going out with full crews. Also, just so as an aside, we pass 2 powder magazines up there. We keep the blasting caps and all of those in 1 powder magazine. We keep all the explosives, the AMFO. We call it PREL. It's what the people that blew up Oklahoma used in those trucks to blow up the federal building in Oklahoma. It's fertilizer soaked in diesel. We use that. We have special ways to get in, but it needs an igniter. So you need to have something to ignite that to go. So that's what's set in the holes. And everything, the holes, like I mentioned, are all timed. So the guys would come out and get that. So this is important. Brass in. We've had situations. We have one guy who, from time to time, forgets he's engrossed in metal detecting or something, and he would be late. We made a deal if we have to wait, which everybody is going to wait, if there's still a tag left in. You wait a while, and then they say, oh, shit. You know, everybody's thumping around and say, okay, we got to go and look around. Probably thinking nothing's happened, but yet, you know, that's the attitude because everybody would like to go home. So we made, if you do that, you buy the beer. And you got to buy enough beer for everybody because you've caused everybody a little bit of grief. And from my perspective, it's more than just a little bit of grief because I'm thinking, if I'm down here or something, I'm thinking, oh no, you know, what's the whole process that we would have to invoke? We had in 2000, we had a fatality. And the mine has had maybe, I can't remember right now, 8 maybe or 9 over its course of its 100 years. But this was the first one for us, and it was a real tragedy, and it was what I call the fool killer. It was one of the guys, and you could probably imagine this is more like a small family operation. Everybody knows some of these young men went to grammar school with each other. We're drawing from Nevada City, Grass Valley, Penn Valley, Camptonville, North San Juan, Downeyville, Allegheny. this whole region around here has been the work, where the people are coming up to work. And he had, he just became unaware of where he was and what he was doing. He had those personal issues, fighting with the girlfriend, other things like that, arrived late, got down, drove this little battery train, not this one, but one similar to that. He drove to his work heading, which he was doing, and he's supposed to cut this ore chute out. He'll be going in there seeing an ore chute. He's supposed to cut that out, and then he had a partner, and they're going to do their work. He decided to drive under it, park the train. They got talking about something. He needed a piece of timber, came back down, and the chute is close as his door to me right now, and I was sitting in the train. So he had to walk in and sit down in the train, lit a cigarette, put the train in reverse and drove into the chute, and it snapped his neck. It was terrible. And we had broken legs before and some other things like that. Everybody is really real. I want to leave you with the thought that this is a very safe industry. It's safe because we've made it safe, and it's been asked. You ask the PG&E guys, they're not getting electrocuted every day, and they're working around with 4,100 volts or whatever. And even the coal miners are relatively safe. China, and to be a miner in China is like suicide.
600 a year?
Put another zero behind that, baby. I heard about 2,500 to 5,000. But it's going to get better. But that was, you know, like 5, 8, 10 years ago. There's just no concern over life on that. But the guys here managed it real well, brought them up. We have flight service to Reno, Chico, Sacramento hospitals. Coordinators are in here. We have a landing helicopter strip. Everybody knew what to do. I mean, there was nothing to do for Mark. But then we went through the process of the investigation, et cetera, et cetera. But so it's unusual, but it's what I was told years ago, what I believe in, and I'm calling it the fool killer. The fool killer will get any of us if we have bad tires on our car, whatever it is. But and unfortunately, the federal government tried to blame it on management here and the condition of the equipment, and we had to fight that all the way to the U.S. Court of Appeals in San Francisco to get honesty in what they were trying to do. So it's a dangerous business, but if you've ever watched those NASCAR drivers and seen them crash at 180 or 200 miles an hour and they walk out and say, I don't think I'm even going to go to the hospital, it's a lot of safety things are here in place. We have what we provide is we provide a hard hat, of course, and I'll bet you half a dozen of us, including myself, will probably hit our head walking in, you know, and but it'll just like that. Or sometimes I've knocked my light off and sometimes still hit my neck. Steel-toe shoes we have a mine light and a self-rescuer, which we're not wearing. About $500 to put a guy into the mine for this equipment. And so we provide that, and then we have safety instructions every Tuesday. It's not a Tuesday morning. It's not like it's a real one. Talk about tramming. Talk about dangers. This and that. And we had a fairly good record of accidents. A couple of questions. Anything? Okay. Well, we're going to go in now. We'll do it now instead of going stand out in the sun. The electrical lines are alive. This is a working line. So it's not childproof or it's not. So the electrical lines are, we're going to go past the transformers. The power comes in, it goes underground. And they're live, which is appreciated, not to touch the wires. And there's compressed air lines, there's telephone service throughout the mine. The crosscut was put in. This is a crosscut. We have a portal, which is the outside. We're going to go in a crosscut for about a third of a mile or something. And then we're going to go to the hoist room. 800 station is actually where we're going to go. Talk there for a little bit. Then we're going to come back around and go to another spot, and then back to the end, or the end of that drift, and then work our way back out. This was put in as a deep, when we're walking in, we'd be actually walking down grade a little bit. The reason they put that in 1983, we had a lessee. They put it in because they wanted to get this area flat, which is higher than where the portal was, closer to the river. So it's unusual. You see the water going down, because once we get to that area, then you'll see the water coming back out. But there's another way for the water to get out. So a slight decline, and they drove it from both inside and out. And then they met and then continued on. When we go by the, I think we're best just to kind of just walk on through and stop a minute. Our eyes will take a minute to adjust. When we get to where the electrical station is, it'll be on your right-hand side, we are at that point 400 feet underground. And because we're going back in a northerly direction, the mountain is growing on top of us. We're going to stay basically on the same level. But we're going, starting here, and we're going like that. So obviously, it's going to be, we're going to be under more. Anything else? I'm going to put my camera away. I'm not going to take it. I just want to take a couple of pictures of you guys.
So how
fast
are we going again? Did you say 800?
Pardon me?
800, are we going to?
We will be on the 800 level.
800 level.
Yeah. And then, I'm just going to do a couple things here.
We're going level, yeah.
We're going to be going level.
Yeah, sorry, I keep
going
level.
There, now I got my documentation. Yeah, I just hope it's, I don't want to go too fast, I don't want to go too slow. I want you to ask me any question you want. I'll just try not to be a monologue, but some things may interest you and some not, but I don't know, so.
Mike, the whole process through here, tell us the term. I know the term, but tell these folks there was a name for it.
Well, see, I guess you didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it. I was back in the bus.
Oh.
The high grading?
Oh, why were, no, they're coming through the double dry? Or
yeah.
Well, some of them heard it because we're changing our clothes.
Yeah.
From the street clothes to the clothes in the locker. I guess you did.
And all the various places where they used to try to hide the gold and it and everything else.
Well, that was one of the reasons for having a double drive, but for to eliminate. I felt that if you put enough security measures in and treat people as if you expect them to be honest, and you put incentives for being honest, it's better than trying to always think everybody's stealing. And now this, let me just, some of you are not from here, and you're going to hear this from people that are going to talk about hybrids. And they'll talk about it like it was just common, which it was, and that it somehow was a honorable activity. You will hear that in Grass Valley. You'll hear the stories because it makes a good story. But from my perspective, it's stealing. Nothing, if you take care of your employees properly, and if you continue to steal from the management, eventually that management can't run an operation anymore. But there is certain glamour to it. And there were probably times, you're going to hear stories at the Empire Mine about how they did it. Some will be true and some won't be true. I don't know. But we had a lessee here. We had a lessee in 1983. I took over as president in 1983. I got elected to the board in 1977 and had to do a proxy fight because there were these other wealthy families that were all older and satisfied, and they didn't like somebody young coming along and asking all these questions about why are you doing this or why are you doing that. And so we had a proxy fight until I convinced enough shareholders to put new directors in, and I officially took over as president in 1983. We had a non-performing lessee. Part of that lessee was some mining people, of which our last president was a director. George Bush Jr. is a director. He's not Jr. George Bush was a director of the company, Lucky Chance Mining. They had raised $2 million, and most people put some money in, and they are the ones that put this cross cut in, right in here. But I had to manage a high grade. We finally bought them out in 1991. And we paid $600,000, retired the lease, and put some money back to go to work. But they were being managed by their headquarters were in Denver, Colorado. And there was a lot of stealing going on. And it was very frustrating for me. As the lessor, the landlord, or the one responsible for the lessee and the lessor, to come into this mine and be just me trying to go up against a management that wasn't taking care of its business plus all the miners. They sold out when I finally had enough evidence that the Nevada County Sheriffs were on their way to Eureka, which is on the coast, to investigate the guys who were buying the gold. That's when I finally got the deal done. And I part of the contract, which is interesting, which nobody probably would ever figure out, but I part of the 16-to-1, my company excused all possible indiscretions to the former management of that lessee. So in other words, get the hell out of here. We're going to take over, and we're not going to do it that way, and it's not the way to stay in business. And so it was an interesting time, but I don't condone it. I don't want it, and I think the stories will be fun to hear. And some of them will be true, and some of them are not true. But you know, this is a gold mine, and gold is small, and a little bit can go a long ways, and people will decide to steal it. But from my mouth to your ears, everybody around here knows that that's not what we want to have done. So, and it was not being done. I'm really reasonably sure of that. Anyways, enough of that. Let's go.